All right. It's been no secret this season. Philly's been struggling, just 3 wins on the year. And then obviously Carson Wentz as well. Dan Orlovsky back here with us. By the way, guys, I was just reading. The Eagles have the 2nd most expensive roster in the NFL. That's unbelievable to me with this type of performance. Yeah. But Max, I'll start with you on this one. Did the Eagles need to clean house right now?
Yes, they do. It's obvious. I mean, when you say clean house, there are 3 guys you're talking about, right, in any organization. The GM, the coach, the quarterback. And I've been saying for a while now that thanks to Dan Orlovsky primarily in the media, but many media enablers and guys on the team, obviously maybe the owner, Wentz has been enabled. He's been enabled. And last year when he had a bad performance down the stretch, he was told he was having a great performance down the stretch. And that's why he makes comments at press conferences like, this is just the way we do things around here. You know, his poor decision-making and all that stuff. So Wentz, who needed to be benched weeks and weeks ago, as I suggested and had been suggesting for weeks, to be held accountable to the team, the way Donovan McNabb was, the season he, after the benching, took them to his 5th NFC championship game, which they almost won, right? Like, instead of doing something like that, they just continued to enable Wentz. It's too late now. He's too messed up. Wentz got to go. He's not good. He hasn't outplayed a single opponent, statistically, all season. Not one. He's always outplayed by the opposition, every single game. His mechanics are bad. His decision-making's bad, et cetera, et cetera. Internal clock is bad. I've been over all this. But Peterson was also awful. And the way Peterson was coaching, it seemed to me, he's like, I don't want any part of this. You go for it on 4th down in Seattle territory when you're down 11 instead of kicking a field goal there. And I'm all for being aggressive, but there's situational football. You don't use your running backs at all. Like, I understand not using your running backs on 1st down. It's predictable and this and that. But like, you have a competent running game. You don't go to it at all. Okay, Carson, you want to run your offense? Go ahead. Here, do your thing. 3 and out. Jalen Hurts comes in. Pre-snap penalty puts him in a hole, but he completes a 6-yard pass, which is more than twice the yards that Carson Wentz had picked up till that point. Immediately, Hurts comes out, Wentz comes in, screws things up again, right? What's that about? And then Roseman, not only the bad picks at wide out and missing the better guys and picking the worst guys, you know, I get that, but the drafting of the quarterback in the 2nd round, Roseman has not done a good job. Peterson has done a worse job. Wentz has done the worst job of all. I don't think this is fixable. You got to restart.
All right, Max, this is why I love coming on, because I can absolutely stomp on your arguments right away. Cleaning house, there needs to be some type of cleaning coming up. Okay, you can't go back to last year and say Carson Wentz had good numbers down the stretch because he was beating up on bad defenses and not give him any form of credit for that. But then use last night, because I watched the start of the show, use last night's fact that he was playing against a historically bad Seattle Seahawks defense and use it against him. Can't do either of those. Number 2, you can't say that Jalen Hurts threw a 6-yard completion and it was more than double that Carson Wentz had in that moment when the first pass of the game is dropped and the 3rd pass of the game is dropped. So, like, argument done. Now, there's a lot of points that I want to make to the situation of the Eagles. I'll focus on 3. Do you need to clean house? The question has to come from the top of the organization and their only owner, Jeffrey Lurie. Who within that organization do you believe can make you great again? Is it Howie Roseman? Is it Doug Peterson? Is it Carson Wentz? Because if you believe that one of those 3, 2 of those 3, maybe all 3, don't or cannot be great again, then yes, it's time to clean house. That is not of my belief. I still believe the quarterback can be a great player. So the cleaning house thing has to be answered with who you think could be great again. Number 2, there's a big difference between a quarterback playing bad and a bad quarterback. Again, these are not excuses. These are just factual reasons. The offensive line has had 22 offensive line combinations this year. That's the most in the NFL. Not an excuse. That is a reality of this football team. They lead the NFL in drops. Not an excuse. That's a reality of this football team. Only Joe Burrow has had to throw into more tight window throws. Not an excuse. That's a reality of the football team. And they've only drafted 1 Pro Bowler, Molly, to your point, since 2015, and that's the quarterback. So do we think that maybe there's bad play by multiple players on the team because it's just not that good of a football team? My 3rd point would be this. Confidence is the most important thing in life. It's certainly the most important. And confidence in yourself, confidence in the people that are around you, and confidence in what you're trying to achieve. And so you have to ask yourself, do you think that Doug Peterson is the coach that can instill the confidence back into Carson Wentz to not miss tight ends down the seam, or to not be willing to take that shot downfield to Alshon Jeffrey, or to not pull the trigger to Rager 2 weeks ago against the Browns? Because if you don't think Doug Peterson's that guy, then yes, it's time to clean from the head coach. Or do you think that they've taken a player that some people, and Max, I know that you're one, thought that this guy was a Patrick Mahomes, a Deshaun Watson, a Matthew Stafford type of talent, and turned him into David Carr looking type of player right now? Because they need to instill that back in this kid. This organization right now has philosophical problems. They have schematic problems. They have systemic problems. They have evaluation problems.
Got a quarterback
problem. And
they have
practice problems. We can pin it all we want on the quarterback. Have fun with that. But I will tell you this, Max, for everything that I would say about the organization, listen, man, you and I have gone back and forth on this a lot. My daughter's 4 years old, 5 years old. Her name is Lennon. She had to do this project, right, where she had to find a bunch of L words because she's learning how to spell and, you know, find out what letters are and sounds. So she had to do a bunch of L words. So she made this. And I said, you know what? I got to hold the L right now. So I have her had her make me an L. I'm going to give it to you this year, Max. Last year, I had a huge celebration parade on your head with what Carson Wentz accomplished, okay? I'm going to hold the L on Carson Wentz this year. I'm not giving up on Carson Wentz for the long term. My daughter made me an L. I'll hold it this year, Max.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Meanwhile, Monday Night Football, the Eagles lose again. They are now just 3-7-1. They are in last place in the worst division in football. Dan Orlovsky was with us before the break. He held up an L to Max Kellerman. He's taken the L for all his takes defending Carson Wentz. And Max, I think it's time that, there it is again. It's time that Max responds.
Well, I think that's a menschy thing for Dan Orlovsky to do. And obviously he has a very talented daughter. And all I'll say is, I'm with you on Peterson. Stephen A's got to get in here, but I'm with you on Peterson. The defense played their guts out. When you go for it on 4th and 14 with 8:40 to go down 11, you're saying I'm washing my hands of this whole thing. You're trying to get out of there, and that was awful. And he didn't use the run game at all. But I'll say this, Dan: when he had a clean pocket, he had a first down on the 50-yard line. He steps into it, has a linebacker on Goddard. Yeah. And like just how you said, hey, Wentz did something good. He should have completed a pass. The receiver dropped it. Bad outcome from a good play. He got a good outcome from a bad play, right? He winds up with a PI call because the linebacker is like trying to catch up to Goddard, and the ball was so underthrown, he winds up smacking into Goddard and gets a PI call. But like, how do you have a clean pocket? You step up and you underthrow your wide-open tight end by on a mismatch by that much. He does that all the time. So I think Peterson wants out, Wentz should be gone, and Roseman too.
Guys, things are not that complicated. The fact of the matter is Carson Wentz is having a very, very bad year. He looks absolutely awful, but he's only 28, and we saw greatness in him before. It is rare that you see greatness. and it evaporates so quickly at such a young age, and that's it. Now, there's one thing when you were great, but then you get old, and as a result, age and attrition coupled with your diminished and deficient skills take fold altogether. It's another thing entirely when you're young and you just regress and you slide and you're having an absolutely awful year. You can resurrect yourself. I will remind you that there was a guy by the name of Nick Foles who was 11-2, if I remember correctly, as a starter under Chip Kelly. Disappeared for years because he was contaminated by Jeff Fisher. Looked absolutely positively awful, so much so that he actually contemplated retirement, but then was asked to come and be a backup in Philadelphia and ended up taking over after Carson Wentz got hurt and won the Super Bowl. And as a result, the next year, Carson Wentz gets hurt again with a five and six record. Nick Foles comes in, saves the day, gets them to the postseason, and delivers a win against the top seeded Chicago Bears in the Windy City before losing to New Orleans in a divisional playoff game. That Nick Foles all of a sudden ends up getting a huge contract from Jacksonville. When he goes to Chicago, we were all applauding it. We were saying if they got the offensive line together, he would look great. There have been a bevy of instances throughout NFL history where there's been a quarterback who wasn't finished, was still relatively young, had exhibited greatness in the past, but they had fallen off and ultimately was able to correct themselves. Carson Wentz is 28, so I'm not giving up on him. I'm looking at Peterson, and it's not because of Peterson's inability to coach. It's because it appears he does not want to coach Carson Wentz. That was not his guy. That was not his choice. That's not the guy that he believes listens to what he wants done, how it wants done. And that marriage is the problem. Even though we could point to Howie Roseman drafting Jalen Hurts, I'll reiterate what I said earlier. This is the same Howie Roseman that took over after Chip Kelly was unceremoniously exiled. And Howie Roseman takes over, and he helps guide the Philadelphia Eagles to a Super Bowl. We don't look at them and say they have no talent on defense. They have no talent on offense. They don't have running backs. They don't have tight ends. They don't have a couple of wide receivers. We don't look at that. We look at health, and we look at the fact that Carson Wentz and Peterson are not aligned with one another. That is what has to be addressed.
Yeah. Let me hit on this too, Stephen. I think you make a lot of good points. I think the last two I would make is this. I think the point of greatness doesn't just go away like that is a valid one. I think we've seen Carson Wentz in two settings for the Eagles. We've seen him with a relatively talented team in 2017. He was one of the best quarterbacks in football. In his last 3 years, that roster has slowly depleted. And last year, what happened? It's important for everyone to understand, like, last year, what happened with that football team and the decimation of injuries is not normal. The way that Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz carried that football team to the playoffs is not normal. And they're going through the same type of injury this year. We can't expect it to happen for the second straight year. And so I would caution everybody. Everyone thinks I'm this Carson Wentz apologist. What do you guys want me to do? You want me to come on television as ESPN pays me to do a job and just go, hey, this guy stinks? No, like my job is to continue to be why. 3 years ago, everyone says Ryan Tannehill stinks. He's a top 10 quarterback. A couple years ago, everyone said before they got Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott stinks. I think that's invalid. So just be very careful. Listen, great movies aren't made just because they're great movies. Shawshank Redemption is an awesome movie because it had a great writer, great director, awesome actors, and an incredible setting. It takes everybody. Carson Wentz, with a rebuilt roster and a coaching staff that instills his confidence back, mark my words, will be performing like a top 10 quarterback again quickly.
It's not just the confidence, Dan. Everything is messed up. And the key was when he said, this is the way we do it around
Correct.
Here. He still doesn't believe that he's doing the
it needs like, to get rebuilt.
He needs to be reworked.
It needs
from
someone
the
who can
up.
Rebuild it.
Because, yes, he needs to be rebuilt. By the way, he doesn't move the way he used to my eyes.
That's fair.
But he's tough as nails and he has great talent. But everything is wrong and there's no. Peterson's ain't going to fix this. I don't know if the Eagles are going to fix this. I don't know if it's fixable at
this
point.
All right, we got to go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Let's take a look at Stephen A's top five NFL teams from last week. Indy checked in at number five, Rams at four, Saints at three, Chiefs at two, and finally his Steelers at number one. So how does it look this week? Time for Stephen's A-list.
Ha-ha! Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Molly. Max, are you listening? Jeff Saturday, don't try to prep. Don't try to, are you ready? Are you sitting back, Jeff Saturday? Are you ready for about what I'm about to bring your way? The top five teams in the National Football League, according to moi, at this particular moment in time. Let's go to number five on the list, y'all. Give it to me. The Tennessee Titans. Why? Did you see what they did to the Indianapolis Colts? Did you see what that brother Derrick Henry is doing? Have you noticed that when we talk about league MVP candidates, excuse me, not to mention offensive player of the year, he is in that conversation with Patrick Mahomes, whether you want to admit it or not. The best running back in football, a mountain of a man who continues to bring the rain. And as a result, the Tennessee Titans are 8-3 in first place in the AFC South. Just bum rush the Indianapolis Colts, and here they come. They're number five on my list. Let's go to number four on the list, please. Give it to me. The Seattle Seahawks. Why? I know they had a bye week this week, even though they played the Philadelphia Eagles last night. That's my equation of a bye week, considering how awful the Eagles look. But here's the bottom line. We know that Russell Wilson was an MVP candidate. We know that that DK Metcalf is that dude, okay? Tyler Lockett is no scrub. Carson is back at the running back spot. And oh, by the way, the acquisition of Dunlap has improved their pass rush and their overall defense, along with Jamal Adams getting himself healthy as well. Seattle is no joke. They are a team to be reckoned with. They're the team in the NFC West. At this particular moment in time, they are clearly a top five team. They've got coaching. They've got the executives taking care of business. And they damn sure got the players on both sides of the ball. Seattle's at number four. Let's go to number three, please, on the list. Give it to me. The New Orleans Saints, we all know what time it is here. Even without Drew Brees, Taysom Hill brings a different equation, a different element to the equation. He can run with the football in ways that Drew Brees never dreamed about doing. Obviously, their defense is nothing to sneeze at. You still have Alvin Kamara, Emmanuel Sanders, of course, Michael Thomas. Max Kellerman pointed all of this out, so he can't argue with that point. The Saints are a top three team in the NFL because they're one of the more well-balanced teams in the NFL. Even without Drew Brees, they're still winning football games. Let's go to number two on the list, please. Give it to me. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, we haven't seen them yet this week. Game been postponed. from Thursday to Saturday, now, Sunday to Tuesday. Now it's been moved to Wednesday. I mean, it's just an absolute mess. They're still undefeated, though. We understand that. But they've been in a lot of tough games this year. They're tough games, even though they've ended up unblemished, undefeated, and they're elite because they're 10-0. And we understand Big Ben looks great. The bottom line is they've got to be number two because they don't look like this team. Number one on the list, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. We can act like the game was close all we want to, and it was when they played Tampa and beat Tampa 27-24. All right, Tampa pulls within 27-24 with 4 minutes left, but we saw that first quarter. We saw Tyreek Hill catch 203 yards along with two touchdowns in the first quarter. We saw Patrick Mahomes throw for 359 yards in the first half. We see how potent this offense is. They just seem to be toying with people. They seem on a level all by themselves right now. That's why even with one loss, one blemish to the Las Vegas Raiders this season, I've got to give credit where credit is due based on the eye test. Now, I don't have these Beetlejuice eyes like Max Kellerman does, but I can still see, even without my glasses, the Chiefs are number one, the Steelers are number two, the Saints are number three, the Seahawks are number four, and the Tennessee Titans are number five on the list. Yes, I left off Green Bay because I can right now. A running game matters to me. I'm going to give the Tennessee Titans love. I'm going with them as my top five.
Yeah, and Green Bay, the Titans just beat a team that Green Bay lost to recently. Stephen A., that is a Stephen's A-list. 5 out of 5 in the right order. I got nothing more to say.
Oh. Look at his face.
Max! Oh, my gosh. Max, what happened? Listen, I think the whole L thing from Orlovsky made you soft, bro. Like, all of a sudden, you're feeling like kumbaya. What happened to you, bro? Like, are you for real right now?
Got it right. No,
listen.
What's wrong with my list, Jeff?
First time all year, you got it right.
Listen, the Steelers don't play – and they drop in the poll. They don't even play a game, and they drop. They're the only undefeated team in the NFL and Stephen A's favorite team in the NFL, and he can't keep them at number one 2 weeks in a row because the league pushes their game out? Absolutely not. Listen, if the Raiders beat the Chiefs in a tight game, they played them close twice, and all of a sudden, like the Chiefs, we think they can't lose a game. We have a team who hasn't lost a game, whose defense has played lights out, whose Ben Roethlisberger has put them back where they need to be. I don't see how you take a team down. That's as crazy as it sounds. And then to leave Green Bay off and put the Seahawks, you said they had a bye week. How can you not put the Packers up there? They torched one of the best defenses in the league. It made it look like they were playing a high school team. Their coach, dang near, he's begging people to play hard so they don't all lose their job. And we're not going to put Green Bay in the top five in the NFL? I mean, Stephen A., this is not your A-list. I don't care what, Max. I'm telling you, Dan done got to Max. Ain't no way this is an A-list, man.
This is an A-list.
You best Jeff, listen
this is an A-list,
it.
Jeff.
Is you, it a B?
You,
is it
man,
a
C? You back on the struggle bus.
Wait a minute. No, I'm not driving back on the struggle bus. You are wrong. You are wrong. First of all, if I'm Green Bay, nope. What do I have to worry about going up against Chicago? You pointed it out. You got the coach. What coach gives a motivational speech by saying, if I get fired, y'all gonna get fired too? Really? Really? In the National Football League? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Don't give me him. He can't even pick a quarterback for crying out loud. And this dude is supposed to have an offensive background. Don't give me Chicago. And in terms of the Tennessee Titans, we just gonna sniff at what we saw them do to the Indianapolis Colts who had beaten the Packers a week before. We just gonna ignore that? Come on, Jeff Saturday.
No.
You can't. And then last but not least, with the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm not punishing the Steelers. I'm just saying I'm seeing a little something different from the Kansas City Chiefs. They seem to be just toying with people, man. I got that. I can do that. No. You can do that.
Toying? They ended up playing a tight game at the end because they took their foot off the gas pedal.
Lord.
What are you talking about? Toying with them.
They had them in the first quarter,
made some adjustments, and all of a sudden Tampa Bay, who couldn't score on anybody on the Rams a week before, are coming back and making the game. Nah, Stephen A. You better give the Steelers some respect, man. That undefeated team, you got to give them respect. You can't send them down.
You know who you sound like? You know who you sound like?
Hey, you know who you sound like, Jeff?
Jeff, hold on,
Jeff. I like the Seahawks without
Green
Bay.
Do you know who you sound like? You know who you sound like?
Who's that?
You sound like LeBron James and his crew. That's who you sound like. Being number two in the world. Oh, what an insult. What an insult. I've disrespected the Steelers because I got them number two in the entire NFL to Patrick Mahomes. That's being disrespectful. That's like LeBron. Oh, my goodness. LeBron, you're on the Mount Rushmore. You're the second greatest player in the history of basketball. My God, what an insult.
No.
I mean, you should –
No.
I'm stabbing you in the chest by saying something like that.
You've got to be kidding me, man. You have confused yourself. This isn't Mount Rushmore. This is every week that you make a big production about. This is 1 week at a time. I can make my decision one week at a time. This is what I'm going
to
do. This ain't a Rushmore.
It's 1 week at a time.
This is a team that's still undefeated.
It's 1 week at a time.
And you moved them down. You moved them down in a week. They didn't even lose a game.
Hey, listen.
No, that's not Mount Rushmore.
I still had questions about how they looked when I had them at number
one. Week,
but I saw
Kansas
City struggle against the Raiders, and then they came back and toyed with the box.
B-list.
No, come on, man.
I disagree with you, Jeff. B-list. Back again.
What?
B-list.
Did you B? B? How dare you? The blasphemy. The blasphemy for you to say
B-plus.
Something like that.
What? I'll give you B-plus.
What? The B-list? I don't do B-list.
This was the best part of my day. This is the most exciting thing that's happened to me all
Jeff,
day, maybe
I appreciate
all week. I'll leave you with this.
Hey, Molly.
Oh, go ahead, Max.
Molly, I appreciate Jeff's pointing out Stephen A's inconsistency in dropping the Steelers before they've even played. Good point, Jeff. I'm just talking about the order he has these in right now. Forget about what came before. That's perfect. Like, maybe you could argue Packers over Titans at 5, but I think given who the Titans just beat, that list is perfect in that order.
Okay. I'm going to wrap this segment up by saying this.
Not just a list.
Stephen A., we've been working together for over
too,
5
Jeff.
Years now.
I'm focused on you, too.
We've had our fights, but at the end of the day, you know I love you very much, and I always have your back, but I have one thing to say to you. You are on the struggle bus. So sad, Stephen A. The struggle bus.
The struggle bus.
He said you're on the struggle bus. I'm just repeating what he said.
Unbelievable.
All right, guys. That was so good. Let's keep it going. The Bucs, I want to talk about them. They've allowed Tom Brady to pick offensive plays for weeks. Head coach Bruce Arians tells NFL Network's Michael Silver. What's up, Michael? Saying, quote, we call what he picks, we just have to get better, unquote. Max, Brady's calling the plays.
Yeah.
Are these Brady problems, Arians problems? What's going on with this Bucs team?
This is everything that you thought. Like any sober analysis of the Bucs before the season started had him right here. No risk it, no biscuit coach with a dink and dunk quarterback. Of course there's going to be some tension in terms of how they're going to do it. It's going to morph over time into more of Tom Brady's offense. But Tom Brady not with Bill Belichick anymore. Now he sees how the other half lives, how everyone who ever lived except for him lives. He doesn't have the coach. No one's perfect. But Belichick makes fewer mistakes than anyone else. He lets the other team beat themselves, right? So he doesn't have that anymore. He's with a coach who's human. He makes mistakes. He's good. I think Bruce Arians is a solid NFL coach. I think he's a good coach. You know, he's not Bill Belichick. So now Brady is dealing with that. Guys, as I said yesterday, the over-under for wins for the Bucs coming into the season was 9.5. I like the over. I like him to win 10 games. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to win 12, 13 games. Brady's so great. No. Brady is, as his QBR shows, he's an average quarterback, which is amazing at his age. And I would say he's a little over average. Tom Brady, I agree with that. But like middle of the pack. High middle, maybe, even though the stats say maybe low middle. But that's what he is. And he's got weapons everywhere, but it's not a perfect fit. And he's learning the system, and he's doing it at a time when he's 43 years old. So if you like them for 10 wins, right now they're 7-5, guys. They're going to win 3 of their last 4 games. right? Something like that. They're going to be 10 and 6 at the end of the season. That's what they were supposed to be. So for all the, like, even Bruce Arians is like, hey, it's a work in progress. Brady's doing fine. He's calling the plays. We're figuring it out. He's getting better. This is what they are. This is what you thought they'd be before the season started.
Well, first of all, I had them going 11-5 this season. I had them losing the division to the Saints, which was probably at 12-4, if I remember correctly. That's what my thought process was. But I'm going to sit up there and look at Arians. I'm not absolving Brady. I'm just looking at Arians just as significantly, if not even more. We have periodically pointed to this, you know, things they've done schematically. We've had a problem with it. Yeah, no risk it, no biscuit. But you have Tom Brady. You got to meet him somewhere in the middle. And if Dinkin and Duncan is the way to go, and that's what rolled him the 6 Super Bowl titles and 9 Super Bowl appearances, and you're Bruce Arians, if you never had one on your resume as a head football coach, it might behoove you to listen to this dude and kind of do what he wants to do, particularly when you have the requisite weapons available to you. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm also thinking about the fact that you got a defense that's ranked number 1 against the rush, but number 24 against the pass. And I'm looking at what you did to that good dude, Carlton Davis. We don't know if Carlton Davis will ever recover for that beat down. I mean, it's rare that you see a cornerback not only alone on an island, but left alone on an island to be so thoroughly embarrassed the way that he was by Tyreek Hill. 1 minute you sitting up there and you backpedaling before you catch touchdown passes. Another minute you backflipping into the end zone and posing on the opposing team's turf. All in the first quarter with 200 plus receiving yards. In the first quarter, it was just embarrassing. They had the camera on Carlton Davis. You see his head down. I don't even remember what he looks like because he had his head buried so low for so long on Sunday afternoon. And then let's get into Antonio Brown. I'm sorry, I know that he's not been around that much longer, that long rather. But this is Antonio Brown we're talking about here. You tell me on what day in the illustrious on-field football career of Antonio Brown where he's been targeted 3 times and catch 2 passes for 11 yards. You trying to tell me you don't know to get that man the ball? I love Mike Evans. Chris Godwin's no joke. Gronkowski is a reliable weapon. Scott Miller is all right. We get all of that. This is Antonio Brown. Now, we can say what we want about the headache he might be off the field based on some of the problems that he caused. But there is no question that on the field, we're talking about a Hall of Famer, one of the elite receivers this game has ever seen. 2 receptions for 11 yards. 3 targets against the Kansas City Chiefs. What the hell is going on here? You're damn right I'm looking at Bruce Arians, not just Tom Brady. I'm looking at Bruce Arians.
I would say the biggest disappointment for me this season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has been the evolution of them their blocking schemes for blitz pickup and four-man rush, for lack of a better word. As you're looking at this team, you know, week after week in the development of it, they have not figured out how to protect Tom Brady. Here's the difference. Everybody talks about, hey, we're going to motion. We want to use motion. And that was the whole, you know, clip with Mike and the whole conversation he's having with B.A., about how much motion does he want. I played on an offense that was static. We did not motion. And why didn't we motion? Because we wanted to know where everybody was, where their alignment was, because that told you so much about who could blitz, who was in danger, who was going to try to trap who. All of those keys, you could use voice inflection on the snap count to get guys to tip. Again, all of those things with the Colts and Peyton Manning, and Brady has done that for his entire career. Because the bottom line is, every defensive coordinator understands Tom Brady's going to be 4 yards or 5 yards behind the center at the end of every play because that's where he does his best work, right? He's not going to roll out. So all the motioning, all the jet motion, all that stuff, all that tells you is zone or man, and all it can do is ultimately confuse where the back's going and which guy is hot. If you're playing Evans at a different position, Brown at a different position, Godwin at a different position, you know, the 2 tight end package, all those things, it becomes more complicated to tell guys where to block and who they're responsible for. So they're trying to make it simple. The issue is they're not executing what's being called. When they have a six-man pro and then you saw Kansas City bring six and they still get pressure, that's execution. That's not just on the head coach. I would say this. I am hoping in the bye week, Tom Brady and this offensive line and the running backs and the tight ends, everybody who's involved in blocking it up, because that's the answer you heard from Bruce Arians, is we have to learn to block it up because, you know, he's going to call the plays and he's going to do what he does, right? Understand what that means and go back and figure out what's the best way, because when Tom Brady is protected, he is effective. Here's the bottom line. With motion, he has an 18 QBR. Without motion, it's like 86 QBR. So we can't say that motion is the answer, right? So what we do have to figure out is how do we make him his best? That's by keeping him clean in the pocket. Is he playing as well as he has the past? No, I'm not saying Tom Brady is doing everything he should do yet either, and I think he's owned that. But as an offense in totality, they have got to figure out pass protection and how vital it is for this offense, because the whole no risk it, no biscuit conversation has to begin with that you have protection to get the ball down the field. It takes 4 seconds for a guy to run 40 yards, man. Like, if somebody's trying to stop him in front, it's not just all of a sudden it happens. So figure that portion out, and I think this offense catches up. I will say, Stephen A., I believe you brought this up. Their pass defense has been poor, and not just because of Hill torching them. They've got to figure that part out, man. This defense is too good to give up that kind of yards and letting teams convert on them, which, again, keeps their offense on the sideline.
Look, okay, fine. Those are details why it's not going perfectly. Every team has them, including the Bucs, right? And you're breaking it down. I get it, but it's still a top 10 defense, however you slice it, whether or not it's quite the elite or just top 10. And it's almost embarrassing how many weapons he has. Like, you just said it. Antonio Brown, Godwin, Evans, and then Gronk, who he's like out there. Like, it's unbelievable. So if you got a defense and you got a coach you think is using this, like, blocking schemes imperfectly, and you have an embarrassment of receivers, I'm not trying to hear about, you know, it's the coach. It's as much the quarterback as the coach. It's just when we say it's, what's the it's we're referring to? That they're 7-5? That they're going to wind up with 10 wins? Guys, I'm just pointing out, that's what they were supposed to do. Stephen A., if you say you like them for 11, all right, you know, you get a whistle here, a call there, a play here, a PI there. That could be the difference between 10 or 11. But they were, to me, looking, and the odds makers thought they're either a 9 or a 10 win team. I'll take 10. That's what they're heading for. This is what you got. Brady's not going to suddenly become an MVP again. He's not that player anymore. He's a professional quarterback. He's a starter, and he's got a lot of weapons on the team, and so they're winning. They're winning more than they're losing, which is what you should expect.
But, Max, like, I hear you in the overall record. My concern is the regression that you're seeing in the offense as a whole, right? Or I guess they haven't reached the potential I thought they would have gotten to by this point. That's the part that concerns me. It's not their overall record, whether they were going to win the NFC South or not. I thought this would be a team to be feared in the playoffs. But by the style that they're playing, that's not even a question right now, because you're seeing them play against good teams and really get dressed down. That's my concern, is I would have thought they would be ascending into the playoffs because I thought it would take time. I just haven't seen them catch up that much, and I did think defense was going to have to carry them. So top 10, whatever, but from the pass perspective, they got to get, because I think that's going to carry them. But to your point, their overall record, I get it. But I'm saying I thought they were going to be a force to be reckoned with come playoff time because of the weeks. It just hasn't gotten there as fast as I thought it was going to happen.
Well, Jeff, this is the thing, and, like, you know, you brought up blocking, which obviously you would know, like the back of your hand. And the bottom line is this: you're talking about blitz packages, you know, in terms of picking up blitzes and things of that nature. Your running backs blocking for you. You're making sure to assist in the level of protection that you might need, because Tom Brady is 43 years of age, and even when he was in his 30s and his 20s, he wasn't mobile. So you damn sure know he's not mobile now. I think the reason why I keep bringing up Arians is because he is a respected coach. We all respect him. We respect the job he did in Indy. We respect the job he did in Arizona. We understand it, and we love his personality. The flip side to it is this. When we look at who Tom Brady played for the first 19 years or so of his career, it was a guy in Bill Belichick that kept the mistakes at a minimum and camouflaged the deficiencies. Bruce Arians is not doing that. So we can look at Tom Brady, but ultimately, if we're going to compare Tom Brady to who he once was, why don't we get to compare Bruce Arians to who Tom Brady once had? Because he has 6 titles and 9 Super Bowl appearances. And here you are, Bruce Arians, with these bevy of weapons, and you no longer have a quarterback that's throwing 30 interceptions in a season, and still somehow, some way, there's always a problem. It's the defense. It's the secondary. It's not underutilizing the running game. Leonard Fournette suddenly can't run the football for some inexplicable reason. We're pointing to a few things that have very little to do with Tom Brady. So who else are we supposed to look at?
Well, okay, but you're comparing him to the best who ever did it. And if we're talking about, like, going into this season, this wasn't about Arians to Belichick or even Brady to Cam. This is about Brady and Belichick.
But is it a comparison, Max?
Belichick's 1 game under 500.
But is it a comparison or simply asking him to do his job?
Well, Arians can coach. He's just not Belichick. Belichick, 1 game under 500, his quarterback had COVID. They had no defense. They have no offense. They have no nothing. And they're a couple plays away from a 7-4 record. Yeah, he's doing fine. This is what I expected him to do. He could be better, sure. He could be worse.
I expected better.
Right.
Got a 43-year-old quarterback.
All right. Guys, I want to get in another subject here, if we don't mind. The Ravens-Steelers, yeah, they're playing tomorrow. So the Ravens are now in 3rd in the AFC North, still in the playoff hunt, with the wild card expanding to 3 teams this year. But tomorrow they could be farther back. Their game's at 3:40 p.m. Eastern in Pittsburgh. Max, do you think the Ravens are going to even reach the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they will. If you look at their record, the only game where you go, they're going to lose that game, is the Steelers. They have a pretty soft schedule, right. Not record, schedule. They have a pretty soft schedule coming up. And I look at them and I think they have a good chance to win 10 games. Like, let's not forget, this same Ravens team, assuming they recover from COVID and everything, because that could have lasting effects. I just mentioned Cam Newton. Took him several games to get back, right? Like, he had brain fog or whatever it was. Assuming that they get back to what they were, guys, think of what they did to the Browns first game of the season. Like, they can play on both sides of the ball, and even if the league has somewhat figured them out on offense, where their offense has taken a step back, they can still play defense. I expect the Ravens to win at least 9 games, maybe 10, and I think 10 gets them to the playoffs.
I think they'll lose. I think they'll win 9 games. I don't think it'll be enough to get them to the postseason. I don't like the way that they've looked. And by the way, are we just going to summarily dismiss the Cleveland Browns? Stefanski's doing a damn good job. They're 8-3 on the year. Baker Mayfield's not really turning the ball over. Their defense is playing well. And they've got one of, if not the best running game in football. They're not Derrick Henry, but Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are absolutely positively no joke. And dare we say, Jarvis Landry looked good, at least this last Sunday. He looked pretty damn good without Odell Beckham Jr. on the other side of the field. So I'm just looking at it from the standpoint that we can't summarily dismiss Cleveland. Pittsburgh obviously is there. The Dallas Cowboys, as horrific as they've been defensively, let's keep in mind they're really porous against the pass. What is the Baltimore Ravens' number one problem? Throwing the damn football. That's not what Lamar Jackson and them have done best. They've got the 31st ranked passing attack in the NFL. It is entirely plausible that they'll win 9 games. But with Indy, with Cleveland, with Miami, it's also plausible that it ain't going to be enough. And that's what I foresee happening.
I think the Ravens end up making it. I think, listen, this team, I think, finds a way. I don't think they're going to beat the Steelers, but I think after that, I side with Max. I think they have a pretty soft schedule. They can take advantage of. I think they beat the Browns. I think they have they got the heads up against the Colts, right? So they're going to be in a chase with that, of trying to just match wins with that. But this is a good football team. Don't forget Williams and Calais Campbell, who have both been out. Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell, who have both been out for that Ravens defense the last few weeks. Those guys coming back, and again, I don't know with the COVID if they play this week. I mean, I don't even know who's in, who's out at this point, but. But as they come back to the fold, this will be a much better defense that will continue to push and press teams that I think has been lacking the last couple weeks. Again, offensively, they got to figure it out. I think Harbaugh does a good job of getting this team rallied towards the end of the season. I think ultimately they make that push and get in.
Stephen A., you brought up something that I've been wanting to mention about Baker and the Browns. Baker has limited upside. We can see that. But you're right. He plays better without Odell. And Odell is a baller. Odell is a great player in his prime. This is what I was saying when I originally said the Browns should trade Odell. It's Baker and Odell don't mix. You got to separate those two so they can both have success. But you're right. The Browns on offense look better without Odell, which is insane. They need to separate Baker and Odell.
Let me say this. You know why the Browns look better? Because Chubb got healthy. That's why their offense looks better. Hey, but you don't even have to have the conversation about Mayfield at this point. When Nick Chubb came back in that offense and Callahan with that run game, that's a totally different football team. OBJ, Landry, whoever you want to talk about, the bottom line is they can run that rock, and that makes everybody susceptible on the back end. So why are Landry's numbers coming up? Why does Mayfield look better? Because Chubb's back in the action. Make no mistake about how that offense runs. One guy. Nick Chubb, don't miss the name because that dude's what's driving that Cleveland Brown train.
With Kareem Hunt, that's tough. Hey, very tough.
Yeah, Jeff, we have like 20 seconds left. Real quick, yes or no, I asked the guys earlier, do you think the Eagles need to clean house?
I think they're going to end up getting rid of their GM and potentially coach. I think when you look at the roster, they're just lacking. I don't think Carson Wentz is a throw. I think with the number he has, I think you keep him around, rehab him, and get him back playing to the level he was a couple years ago.
All right, that'll do it for us. Stephen A., I hope you're not on the struggle bus tomorrow with your B-list. Goodbye, everybody.
I'm not on one now. Goodbye.